Guys, we're here ostensibly to talk about My Hero Academia.
That's the rumor.
That's here in episode 51, in which everyone decorates their dorms.
Okay. Yep.
That's my synopsis.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that is.
All right. Can the two of you remember everyone's rooms and styles?
Okay, I cannot remember names, but I can definitely remember all the rooms and styles.
Okay, all right. I'm going to think of a character, and you have to tell me what their room style is.
Now, can I remember? No. Can I tell you because I have this note-taking machine in front of me?
All right, then I'm going to throw Scott. I'm just going to see. All right, what was the distinguishing figure of the kid who could talk to animals? What was his?
Oh, he had a little rabbit.
Okay.
He had a little rabbit, and he was set up for animals, and he had even like little animal stuff all over his room. It was so cute. How they're like, you can't have a rabbit.
Yeah, that's
not
a pet.
Fair. And he's like,
I didn't have it.
All right, girl who can like spew acid or something, whatever her thing.
Hers
is.
Was actually kind of just a dark purple. It was actually it was very much in.
That was one thing I thought was kind of annoying. I feel like all the girls sort of had just like we have girl rooms except for like these two.
Yeah, earphone jacks was good.
Yeah,
yeah, she had this really manly room. And then Yayirozu.
Yeah, she just had the giant bed.
With the giant bed.
Yeah, freaking four poster.
I love the fact that like Yayirozu is this rich bitch, but she's also like super sweet and friendly and helpful. But every once in a while she says something and all the other kids are like, wait, hold on.
She has no idea, does she?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because this is a character who's incredibly privileged. She grew up into money, but she's also really awesome and sweet and nice. And so I love her. Yayirozu, you poor girl. I mean, not really. But
exact opposite, in fact.
One of my ex-girlfriends, and for those playing at home, if I say ex-girlfriend, it's a true story. If I say ex-wife, it's made up bullshit.
Ah.
One of my ex-girlfriends worked at a furniture store, and I used to come pick her up at work. And they had this four-poster bed with this, like, it was all solid wood with these, like, intricately carved posts. It was, like, $10,000 or something crazy like that. And I always thought, you know, that is the bed that I would want for the house I expect to die in.
This is my final resting place.
Because this bed's awesome, but once I get it where it's going, it is never moving.
It can't go anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't need a bed that extravagant at all.
I don't need it. Mattress. I want it.
Yeah. I did like that this started off with Eraserhead kind of being like, hey, what's up, everybody? I know shit got a little crazy last week, but it's all cool. We're here. Everything's going to be fine. By the way, you four or five who snuck out to save Bakugo, you're real lucky that All Might retired, because I'd be flunking all of you right now if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, and not just you five. All of you.
Yeah. Everybody who knew and didn't say anything.
Basically, the only two who would get out of this were the two who were unconscious due to poisonous gas.
But.
Oh, and the one who was kidnapped.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there was, speaking of Bakugo, there was a weird scene where he goes behind some bushes with Zappy Boy and some zaps happen.
Oh,
and he appears with money.
No, there's a reason that happens. I had to do a double take too, but then I realized that, okay, so this is actually really funny. The reason he takes them back there is because everyone's super uncomfortable. So what does Bakugo do? He grabs Kaminari, drags him behind the bushes, forces him to use his electricity to then become a doofus, which, if you'll notice, makes everybody laugh.
Is that what that was all about?
Yep.
It's like he was actually thinking of the group doing that, because I could have sworn it was just, I'm going to rough up Kaminari for some money and then give it to Kirishima.
Well, and the other thing that you'll notice is that Bakugo, he then goes up to Kirishima. Yeah.
He's like, did you steal this? He goes, like, no.
I pulled this out of the ATM, which Bakugo's anything, but he's not a liar. He's not going to lie about where he got the money. So he gives it to Kirishima, and he walks away because he doesn't want to owe anybody anything.
Yeah, like that made sense, and I liked it.
The other part makes sense. If you like, post hoc, you know, in the time...
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. In the moment, it's a little confusing, but if you think about it afterwards, it's like, oh, he doesn't want to owe anyone anything, including the group. He notices that they're all depressed because of him. He ties it back to him because he was the one who was stolen. He was the one who had to get rescued. And it was the only way that he got rescued, as far as we can tell. The group grabbed him. Like, those, the Midoriya group saved him. And it was their actions that ended up saving Bakugo in the end. So Bakugo ties this whole mess, this depression, this anxiety over the fact that, you know, all of this happened back to him. So he just grabs Kaminari and forces him to be a doofus to make people laugh.
I mean, I'm not going to say...
I did not grok any of that from what the show showed to my eyeballs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to say that that is incorrect or not what happened, but it's just the show does a very bad job of telling you that, if that's the case.
Like, that makes as much sense as any other explanation I've heard. The show does nothing with that.
Yeah, like...
It doesn't tell you it.
Or show it, or explain it.
I mean, it shows it just fine, and I will argue
it shows
it
them go back behind some bushes, and some zaps happen.
And it shows that people are happier when Kaminari's a doofus hanging around. Like, yeah, that does seem to chill everybody out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the timing is there, which is why I'm like, I don't think you're wrong, it's just... Man, the show gives zero effort to explain that that's what's happening. Because
like,
I watched that episode twice and was just like, yeah, he probably did take that money from Kaminari. He's just bullshitting.
Yeah, I was like, was he like shaking him down for information about how much the thing cost, but he's not the one who bought it? Like, the connection between I'm going to go do this and then it was... There was like an implied connection between that and the money,
yeah.
Which... Based on your explanation, there actually is no connection between
Yeah, you could have given
things.
The money first, then...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
It was confusing and weird.
Yeah. I will say that it doesn't do a great job at it. Like, for me, I had to think about it. I had to, like, look back on that scene and wonder... And due to the fact that I knew that Bakugo wouldn't lie about it, because that's not Bakugo's style... There was a part of me that was like, okay, then what was the point of that? And then I just looked at them all laughing at Kaminari, and I'm like,
are we,
I thought I switched it over to the other one. I didn't hit the button hard enough. That's my fault, people. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. I was going to say, I just had to look back at Kaminari making everybody laugh, and then I'm like, yeah, no, like, that's what he did. That's the reason. Like, that the whole emphasis on Kaminari being a doofus and everybody suddenly laughing after all that tension was the only thing that I could grok from it myself.
See, I thought about it and got nothing, and then went and looked on the Discord and various places online to see if anybody else had anything, and found various explanations, none of which line up with what you just said.
Mm.
So, it's apparently confusing and not just to me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I also wasn't aware. Your explanation makes sense in the grand scheme. I would say the show didn't do a good job of presenting that, but like now that you say that, like I guess the evidence lines up. Sure, this is what happened. Just the show could have maybe thrown in a line somewhere of, like, you know, Bakugo saying, I might as well make you useful for something, or something along those lines.
I definitely will say that would have been... That would have helped.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
just a small little bit to imply why he did it, because we are left kind of in the... like, the show leaves you about in the dark as the rest of the class with this move, and that's not great for trying to show you Bakugo's growth as a character and explain the scene. Because, I think, looking at it, like, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I see what happened. Like, it's no mystery for me, but I can 100% see how you guys would be like, what just the fuck happened? And that's the, but it, I love it, though, because knowing it, or at least believing how it happened, it's nice to see Bakugo, his personality be up front, like the fact that, again, he doesn't want to owe anybody everything to the extent where he goes out of his way to help break the tension and then immediately pays Kirishima back for the goggles.
Yeah, like paying him back, like that I liked because it entirely flowed from his character.
Yeah.
It was a decent thing to do that was entirely believable for Bakugo to do, which was nice.
And it was also coded in Bakugo's flair of, and if I have to see you scrimping and saving for stuff, it's going to make me feel bad, so shut up.
So, but yeah. But then after that, we...
Yeah, we get everybody's dorm rooms, which is...
Minata being... Okay, so I've been like the Minata, like... The Minata guy, like, hey, I think Minata's actually really funny because he rarely gets what he wants, but... There's some scenes in here that I'm like, okay, pull it back, dude.
Him sniffing Invisible Girl's panty drawer was my, like, this is a line crossed, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everything else is just, like, yeah, it's like gross pervy kid, but it's also like not very far beyond what I would honestly think is going on in a teenage boy's mind.
Yeah. Like I,
that was one extra step of like, this is like, I get you're trying to be like, he's a gag character and everything he does is stupid, but it's just like, this is,
yeah,
this goes from being on like goofy funny to like, this is just actively uncomfortable.
Didn't help that we got like started out that segment with that. So, you know, Pink Girl, I wish I could remember her name.
Majin Boobs.
Yeah. Majin Boobs.
Okay.
Wow. That's Android 21. but so why did we start that segment out on that?
That weird, like, midriff shot? Shirt?
Yeah, that midriff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, no, do not do this. She's, like, 15. Stop. Just, like, make her cute. You know, dress. You know, let her dress like a 15-year-old girl would, but don't show, don't.
I feel like they could have gotten that message across, because what I think it's supposed to be is, like, we're all used to seeing each other in our school uniforms or in our costumes. We're not used to seeing each other in casual wear.
Yeah, but
and, like, this is, like, see, look, her shirt's not even tucked in. How casual.
Yeah.
Like, but you could have done it in way less creepy ways.
Yeah. But that aside, this is actually one of my favorite. This was two chapters, I think, in the manga. Mm-hmm. And I knew they were just going to do it all in one episode, and I'm really glad that they did.
Yeah.
And I love this. I won't lie to you. This is one of my favorite just like couple of chapters in the manga and one of my favorite episodes of the show, because one of the things that My Hero Academia, like, it's so interesting because it's so dense and yet very little happens over the course of it in terms of, like, actual big events that, you know, it's just nice that we get character stuff. For all of the classmates, we get to see just a small peek into what their personal lives are like, and it's so good.
I saw, like, a one, like, just a two-frame comic, I think, that someone made that was just like, I want to see the My Hero kids just acting like stupid teenagers, and it's them, like, frying an egg on Todoroki's leg or something just to see if he can do it. And you see all the students like freaking out like, it works! I'm just like, yeah, that is kind of what I want to see from them. And this is sort of like a step in that direction. One thing I noticed, though, I don't know if it was like a visual gag or something that they went back to a lot this episode, but like I guess it's supposed to be like saliva or milk spewing out of their mouth when they're surprised or laughing. Because Earphone Jack Girl does it when Kaminari comes up all... You know,
oh, it's
charged
spit.
Out.
Yeah, it's supposed to be spit.
Okay,
like you know when you go,
because it's just like just like a vomit spew.
Yeah, like, it's supposed to be exaggeration, like with blood out of the nose. Mm-hmm. It's like saliva for when they go, which I'm.
It was just weird to me because they did it like 3 times in this episode, and it's like, I mean, I guess we're not normally this lighthearted, so you don't see it as often, but it just felt weird that it's like, all right, you thought that was funny when we did it there? What if Uraga does it here? And then what if Mineta does it here? Like, it's just like, okay, I get it. They laugh really hard.
Also, I love the fact that they skip over Mineta's room.
Yep.
That's like, nope.
Nobody cares.
Don't even care. Yeah.
What do you think was going to be in there?
Oh, he was gonna have girl like fucking
just pinups everywhere.
Pinups, like you know that it's got to be gross as hell.
I mean, maybe, but he seemed real excited to have the girls in his room. Makes me think maybe he'd like
rigged some cameras. Oh, yeah.
I was gonna say like left to his own devices. I agree, pinups everywhere. He seemed to think that he had something.
He had
the
made
girls
a room
would
that he
could
be proud of.
I'm almost certain it was like
lots of wadded up tissues.
Anyway,
little grapes everywhere.
Oh, I'm just gonna chill over here. No, that's not a beanbag chair.
Don't sit in that.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I 100% expected to be a like hookup pad, the kind of thing that
heart shaped bed. Him,
Larry.
Him
what was his name? Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry would have.
Yep.
Just the scummiest, grossest pad.
Some Glenn Quagmire.
Yes, exactly. Mineta is the Glenn Quagmire of My Hero Academia. You heard it here 10th, folks.
Do you think all his posters in his room are hung up with little grapes?
Yes.
Little what? Oh, little grapes. Yeah, you know what? That would be really funny. I like the idea. I actually like the idea of Mineta like pinning things with those little grapes.
It's perfectly safe for wallpaper.
Also, can we just talk about the fact that I miss this dub?
Yeah, I do really miss the dub.
Yeah, like, every time it starts.
I know you've been watching subbed the whole time, so this is not a shift for you.
I won't tell you, man. I won't lie to you, man. When it starts up and I don't hear Justin and I hear the Japanese guy, I'm like, ah, that sounds wrong to me now. That's coming from
me. I've ruined it for myself.
Yeah, that's coming from me. I'm usually Mr. Subs or Best guy. I don't know. There are a lot of dubs that... If I can watch a good dub over a perfect sub, I'll usually watch the good dub because I just like hearing it in my own language. It's easier to communicate a lot of things. But
yeah. Oh, in general, I agree. In this case, already having cranked through the previous seasons on Crunchy just because that's what I had.
Right.
It's what I'm used to.
But that's fair.
Everything I've heard from the dub, every little clip that gets passed around on social media, is fantastic.
Yeah. Like, that's Colleen Klinkenbeard. She's one of Funimation's best directors, bar none.
Yeah.
And she's just got this all-star cast killing it, so.
So we talked about Mineta. The other two rooms we don't see are Asui and Bakugo.
Yeah.
What do you think their rooms are like before we go on?
Obviously, Asui was going to be, like,
just
froggy.
Just a green.
Yeah, probably green and adorable, and I love her. Bakugo's, I have no idea. I feel like Bakugo's...
I have a feeling his room's just trashed. Like he just goes in there to sleep and that's
no,
it.
No, absolutely not. Oh. I am almost 100% certain that Bakugo's spick and fucking span.
All right.
Because that's Bakugo's whole thing. Bakugo...
Perfectionist?
Yeah, he's a perfectionist. He would definitely... to that regard, it's probably pretty Spartan.
Okay.
Yeah. I could see it being...
Workout equipment. He would...
That's what I was about
Kirishima's
to say.
Kirishima's room?
Yeah, exactly.
The manly room?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he had...
Yeah, he had like white racks and a punching bag and
shit. Yeah, you know what? He's got the punching bag, and Bakugo's probably got like workout equipment, bars, and dumbbells and stuff like that.
Yep.
I did like that we got to see Uraraka be like psyched for Kirishima's manly room because she was the one who did like all the hand-to-hand training for her.
I love the internship.
I love the comment. I'm like, this has got to rank second highest on rooms you don't want your boyfriend to have. I'm like, what a specific but accurate statement.
I liked Invisible Girl is just way into pink. She is just a girly girl through the roof. That just seems to be her thing.
I understand that there's not much else to emphasize her considering we only have her clothes, but the one shot before that, I'm like, boobs, boobs, boobs.
She's
wow,
very
boobs.
Well endowed, Invisible
Girl.
Yeah, and then there was one other one that I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah. I like that we are given kind of a lead-in for Todoroki's because he keeps saying that he's tired. And everyone's like, we want to do this whole room show-off thing. And he just keeps like offhandedly mentioning, like, I'm sleepy. I'm tired. I don't know. I guess. Sure. But I'm tired. And then we get to his room, and it's completely redone with mats and everything. He's like, I can't. I'm not comfortable on flooring. We have the mats at my place, so I had to have them put in here. And everyone's like, how did you do this in a day? Just... I worked real hard. Now are we done? I'm tired. Just like, oh, okay. You are exhausted because you spent all day doing this.
I didn't think about that, but that's, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Man, that was my first night in the dorms, my freshman year of college. I wanted to sleep before anybody else did, and somehow the communal gathering had wound up in my room.
And so we hadn't stuck with it.
Yeah, we hadn't established the protocol yet for okay,
everybody
fuck off. So I just kind of started changing into my PJs and getting into bed, like, okay, you guys do whatever the fuck you want. Passive aggressive little shit that I was.
Also, so yeah, we get to see everybody's rooms. Anybody else that we missed that we didn't talk about?
Well, just to run down the list.
Deku's is just Deku, All Might, which is...
Deku loves All Might. Tokuyomi has, like, the teen edgelord.
Oh, Tokuyami? Yes. Oh, Tokuyomi?
Tokuyami. It's Yami. I always want it to be Yomi,
yeah,
but it's Yami.
Is he the one with the tail?
No,
he's
no, no.
The bird
that,
guy.
Oh, yeah, the bird guy. Bird that's dude. Right.
Yeah. I love his room. I love it's like, hey, I used to have this keychain when I was a teenager. Get out. A sword! An actual sword! Get out!
Just get out of my room.
That's right. Naval boy has disco balls and glitter everywhere.
Yeah, he's and got mirrors. The shiny room.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot that we haven't touched on. Let's see. Tail boys is just boring and normal.
Such a normal room.
Yep. Ida's has bookshelves everywhere and lots of glasses.
Yes.
Yes. And fucking the response from Ochako is like, you have so many glasses. And it's like, I expect them to get destroyed due to our training. What?
Zappy Boy just looks like a normal dorm room. Let's see.
Zappy Boy is, his whole thing was that he, it's really mismatched and tacky.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a normal dorm room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like everything's kind of secondhand or bought from Target earlier that day.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Arm Wings is super Spartan and minimalist.
Yep.
Which I like that he and Todoroki had like a moment between each other. He's like, oh, I didn't know you were a minimalist. Like, it just feels like I didn't know we had the same religion. High five. Cool. It's nice to find a brother.
Yeah. Tape Boy is very Asian and tasteful.
Yeah, actually, I like his room's design. It's very warm. I like that. Also, the girls are kind of way into it, too, because they're like, whoa, okay, yeah, did not expect
You have
this.
A personality? You never get to do anything.
let's see. And, yeah, I think that's everybody that we see.
Yeah.
And then we get, the episode wraps up with a little final scene. So throughout all this, Froppy's been saying she doesn't feel too well. Turns out she's been feeling guilty because she told everybody not to go after Bakugo.
Yeah, and so one of my favorite parts about this scene in general is how meta it feels, but still completely believable. Because one of the things about it is that she comments on the fact that after what had happened, she was afraid that they couldn't have fun anymore, that they couldn't be this group, that they that the tension would be too high, that moving forward they would break apart. And so
I was afraid we'd moved into a serious show.
And so yeah. So Sue comes out, goes out of her way and tries to start this whole room thing because she wants everybody to have fun and chill, and it's really sweet. I love it. I love that whole reasoning and how it comes together at the end. And I also loved Sue, so Sue being involved in the plot more is just yay.
Well, and I feel like her bringing up, she's like, I was really against you guys going. I said that if you guys go, you're no better than villains. And then I walked out of the room, assuming my message had been clear. And then you went anyway. She was like, I don't get what we're supposed to do if this is how you're going to act when I say things like that. And it was like, oh, cool. Someone's still mad that they did this really dangerous thing that they shouldn't have done. Yeah. I'm glad someone's still holding on to that. Even though ultimately, yes, they did sort of save the day by getting Bakugo out of there and giving All Might a chance to fight properly. But it's like, no, you were told and given every indication that you should stay behind and you didn't. And
you know, it's sort of interesting like that, by the way. Like, they are the only reason Bakugo got saved, if you look at it, like, the way things would have shaken out, there's no way that All Might would have been able to fight at his fullest if Bakugo had still been there. So it's kind of curious that that is kind of not really addressed by anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what would have happened, but yeah, it is hard to imagine that situation shaking out as well as it did under other circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah, they were ultimately no one was hurt, and they got Bakugo out of there. Mm-hmm. They ultimately did everything they set out to do with no casualties or causing any additional problems. But it was still like, no, when we tell you not to go somewhere, we mean it. And we need to have a layer of trust here that when we say don't do this, you don't do it. Yeah. And that's why we would have flunked you, even if things turned out right. But because we need as many heroes as we can get, we're kind of getting desperate here. Yeah. And your hearts were in the right place, so I guess that counts for something.
Yeah, that's a rough thing to deal with when you've got these unruly students who know for a fact that they're kind of untouchable now.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if that's something that we return to, because when somebody gets away with something, when everybody knows that they've gotten away with something, it's hard to tell them, but seriously, don't do this again and make it stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although Aizawa telling them that everyone would have been expelled is a good way of like, yeah, you don't understand. All of you would have been out. And that's a good message to send.
Yeah. It is, but it's still words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, there was no actual punishment laid down, nor was there, which maybe in future episodes we'll see something with them being like, and after the mishaps we've had, you guys aren't allowed to do blank, or you are staying after for this extra class where the villains will inevitably pop up and we have another segment. But like, you know, stuff like that where it's going to be, you have to stay after class or whatever, because you idiots can't get it through your heads that when we say don't.
Yep. But yeah, just knowing that the reason you are not being punished as harshly, or as far as we've seen, really at all, is because of this special circumstance. But that circumstance is still in place. That's not going anywhere.
We can't get rid of that circumstance.
Yeah. Yep. But, well, just in case anybody was wondering, still watching, still enjoying, still liking, I very much enjoyed this episode, and I'm looking forward to seeing the plot start moving forward again coming up next time.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. As I said, this is something I was looking forward to for, like, this entire arc. I love character building stuff like this. I love circumstances, you know, driving characters, like, with Sue. Like, that was such a great moment. This is, this is kind of the peak My Hero stuff that's not action, and like the out of the like lighthearted stuff, this is what I dig the most, and I'm glad we got a whole episode for it.
It was good. It was a fun episode. Baka. Just because it's fun to see kids have fun doesn't mean I'm a loser.
Yeah, no. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's just them having fun and having a good time and getting to show off their personalities. And My Hero's got so many good characters.
That's kind of the thing I'm realizing is, like, even though they're, like, I joke around how I don't know, like, half the characters' names, I genuinely like all of them.
That's
like,
just because there's so many of them.
Yeah, there's so many, but I think they're all fun. And if someone was like, hey, man, the next arc tape guy and animal talkie guy get, like, big character moments, I'd, one, totally believe it, mm-hmm. and two, be like, all right, I'm in. Like, I want to see what these guys are up to. I want to know, like, you could tell me, like, yeah, sorry, Midoriya has to sit, like, this arc out for whatever reason, and now so-and-so...
He's got this heart virus, okay?
And yeah. He accidentally put 100% in his big toe, and he can't walk anymore, so he's stuck. So now, it turns out that Kaminari has to lead the crew for a while. Like, all right, I'm in. Like, just let me see these characters all have, like, situations that they have to deal with and show me their personalities through. Like, because so far, the show has been, like, very good with everybody. Like, Mineta obviously has, like, an annoying character flaw, but...
But if you were to tell me, hey, next arc's all Mineta, we're gonna, like, delve into him and actually get into the nitty-gritty of his character, I'd be like, good, okay.
Because, even the, like, during his, what was it, like, midterm or whatever, where he had to fight Midnight, and he's like, no, my driving force is I want people to think I'm cool. And I've realized that you don't become a hero because you're cool. You're cool because you're a hero. Like he had a character moment there, and it was like, even though it was still surrounded by pervy stuff, it was like, nah, I can kind of see where he is, and that's okay, because everyone in the show actually seems all right. And I hope 1B gets to show up some more, because they're cool too. But then we'd have even more characters I know nothing about. So who knows?
Yeah, B is in a bad place in terms of, like, what they get to do, which is why I was happy in this arc. We got to see at least a little bit of them, especially with... oh, God, what was his name? Tets.
Yeah, Tets got to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and Hand Girl.
Metal Guy, and Big Hand Girl, and Guy with Skull Face. Who knows what they do, but I want to.
You guys didn't talk about it at all, but I thought the Sugar Guy got a really cool moment, too.
Yeah, Sugar Guy being the winner of the room contest and being like, yeah, I won. I had a normal room, but I was also just happened to be making cake at the time. And all the girls said, your room's the best because we got cake. So I won by the votes.
That's so mean.
He's like, what? Sweets are expensive. I figured this, I consider this training.
I love it.
Now, I mean, does he need the sugar baked into the form of pastries and such?
I mean, buy powdered sugar, but maybe it's easier to consume it and process it in bread form.
Let's be honest. How would you want to intake your sugar? In the form of cake or literally shoveled into your mouth?
I mean, if...
Injections.
Yeah. If we're talking, like, I need to Popeye the fuck up and go punch that dude... Whatever gets it in me fastest.
Well, I'm pouring it in my eyes, Deku. Don't worry.
Well, here, this isn't a matter of life or death. This isn't inside of a battle. This is okay. I'm training, and I don't want to have to just pour sugar into my mouth every
time.
Well,
I mean,
he just carries around Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be the easiest.
Oh yeah, soda would do it. That's literally nothing but sugar water.
Yep.
I mean, maybe the cake is just like he has this cake, and he knows this has exactly this much sugar in it, so I'm going to get. Because, like, the drawback of his power is, like, the more he takes, the dumber he gets. So he's like, I want to get this powerful and not that much more dumb. So if I eat this slice of cake, I know I will get this much.
Again, it's just neat. It's just neat. I love that power. I love him as a character. I'm glad he won.
Well, we'll see if we see any more of Class 1B, any more of... Sugar Boy, any more of anything, next time. Thanks for tuning in, you guys.
Woo!
New opening next week, I think.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. I hope so, too.